This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Right now I get to talk about a wonderful book, Still Waters. The name of the author is Sarah Driscoll. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
My real name is Jen Dana. I write under Sarah Driscoll as a pseudonym. I will answer to either.
Okay. I never know what to do in that case because, you know, you're already famous for as Jen because you write a wonderful series there. I love this series. I read this book back in October. I had so many Christmas books. I was, like, overwhelmed, and I couldn't fit you in. But as I said, I read it in October. And it's set in October, and it's set in Minnesota in the Lake District, which I know very well. So,
oh, that's great.
I know how it feels to be in a canoe.
Yeah, it's a really lovely area.
Oh, it is, and to be there in October is it's a special time of the year. Actually, it's better because the black flies are gone.
That's true.
Definitely, and. Because in the summertime, it's terrible. I mean, you really have to wear, you know, a veil. It's crazy. But this series is just fantastic. And this is book 7 in this series.
Yes.
Really, I enjoy it so much. I thought, you know, it's so refreshing. And I kept, as I'm reading that, I said, well, she's up to book 7 already. Let's see. Why haven't they already picked this up for a series? Because this would be better than Rizzoli and Isles. I mean, you put the Isles in. You put the Isles in it, and we could just have to replace Rizzoli with Hawk, and we're all
right.
Set. So why don't you tell us about your main character and about her background, and then, of course, about Hawk. And he's fantastic. What a dog.
Well, yeah, and a little sort of behind-the-scenes info. Hawk is a black lab because that is the kind of dog that I grew up with, so I have a real sort of affinity towards black labs. There's lots of working dogs that are out there, but for search and rescue, Labradors are really good for search and rescue, so I wanted to make him a black lab. But the series stars Meg Jennings, who is, she used to be sort of in an earlier phase in her career, a patrol canine officer with the Richmond Police Department in Virginia. She unfortunately lost that canine in a shooting when they were taking down a suspect. And so she sort of retreats back to her parents' animal rescue, where a puppy, a very sick puppy with parvovirus, is dropped on their doorstep. And that puppy is Hawk. And so she nurses Hawk through this terribly serious illness. And then when he's much better, she trains him to be a search and rescue dog. And then they join the FBI Human Scent Evidence Team, which is a part of a real unit in the FBI, which is part of the Forensic Canine Unit. And so they are live find dogs, and they are off trying to find the lost and, you know, suspects and, you know, the injured, the missing. That's what they do.
And as you said, it's a real unit, and they do fantastic work. And so when, as you're writing, I think readers will be so interested in what goes on behind the scenes in search and rescue or searching out the bad guys. And so it was, I think there's so much, you just weave in all this information in such a lovely way. We learn so much. And I love a book where I come away and I know more about a subject. I just thought that was done so well. And of course, you've gotten such wonderful reviews over the years about all your books, and you know that it's just a wonderful series.
Thank you.
So and I like the way you start on each, in the beginning of each chapter, you explain some terminology.
Yes, there's an overarching theme for the entire book, but then each sort of little term is directly related to that chapter. So.
Exactly. So in this case, of course, now she's in in Minnesota in the Lake District in October, and in this case, it's a very personal kind of of case.
It becomes a very personal case, yes. They originally go there for just like any other job. They have to do sort of continuing education. And in this case, their continuing education is learning how to do water searches, which is a new skill for them. But once they get there, things kind of go sideways in a big way.
So when you started with the series, I mean, you weren't with the FBI team. Were you
at the start of the series? Yeah. Yes, they were. They were like Megan Hawk and Brian and Lacey.
You personally?
Sorry. Oh no, no. Personally, my background is I'm a scientist.
That's what I thought. You're a scientist, and so
yeah.
I thought it was intriguing that you started this, and you didn't have a particular background in search and rescue. How did you approach the research for this? How did you get together with the FBI? Did you talk to the people there? How did you get this kind
of? We did talk to them a little bit. They're not their media department. They don't like to sort of give out any of their secrets, which I understand. They are the FBI. The first seven books in the series I wrote with a partner, Ann Vanderlyn, who unfortunately and unexpectedly passed away last summer. Anne was a dog rescuer, and she rescued pit bulls, and at one point she had even up to five of them, trained them to be therapy dogs. One of her dogs she trained to do nose work so that we really had the protocols around the nose work down, you know, really specifically. So she was really my dog brain when it came to doing the writing. She was she knew all about dogs and how they ticked and how you would do the sort of the technical aspects. So between the two of us, we sort of put the thing together.
I'm sorry to hear about that. I didn't realize that. It's a wonderful series and a wonderful idea. As I'm reading it, I really did keep thinking of it as a series for television because they need something new. I keep sort of sending messages to the people I know in Los Angeles. I say, oh, please, don't make another Wuthering Heights. don't do another Pride and Prejudice. Please don't.
I think it'd be a wonderful TV series because people love animals. And
you've got everything.
There's a whole team. There's multiple dogs. Yeah, I think it'd be wonderful.
And you have a wonderful cast of characters. And not everybody's in this book, but including Meg's sister and mm-hmm. and the relationship she has. I mean, you have great characters.
Well, thank you. I like the group ensemble, so that always really works for me.
Yeah.
Everybody sort of pitches in, and you have real teamwork.
I think it works beautifully. Now, one of the things, because I hadn't read all your books, so I read this book, and then, of course, there you mentioned about Kate, about how Hawk rescues Kate. And that was obviously in a previous book. It's wonderful nowadays with the internet, you can actually go back and read the books. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
I think the way you introduced that, it was so intriguing. So Kate is tied up to a World War One ship, and then Hawk saves her. And I thought, well, my gosh, I have to read that book.
Well, yeah, I mean, I try to write each book so that each one can be read as a standalone, but nobody lives in a bubble. So, you know, previous cases are alluded to in the book.
Yeah.
That there's lots of previous adventures. If that's, you know, book 7 and book 8 comes out this November.
I thought, you know, that's just cool to have the background and sort of build up the characters. It would just be such a great television series. They need something streaming that's fun. Goes to interesting places, goes to interesting locations. I can tell you one thing. The FBI might be hesitant sometimes to help, but believe me, if you get a television series, they will send an advisor.
I'm sure they probably would.
they would be there in a flash. they would fight over who's going to be the technical advisor for this television series.
Yeah, no, I would love to see that, maybe someday.
Well, you know, you have to just keep, as you're doing, you're writing and writing, and which is a good thing. And so mm-hmm. you have plenty of stories here that people can work with. And as somebody who is, you know, in Hollywood, you sometimes get projects and they'd say, what do you think of? And I say, yeah, that's a good one. And then, of course, in Hollywood, everything takes 30 years. This is a product. I think there's so much that would go with this one. So now you're a scientist, and how did you come to writing?
I just used to write as a teenager. I've always been sort of a voracious reader and sort of picked up writing as a teenager. And then as I got into the later years of high school and university and got married and had two kids and was working in the lab, I just sort of let it go for a while. And then after I'd been working in the lab for about 15 years and my kids were sort of 7 or 8-ish, I just started picking up writing again for fun, and then just sort of got the bit between my teeth and decided to do it professionally.
I mean, that's fantastic. I like what you said, that you were a voracious reader. What mm-hmm. were your favorite books?
I can thank my parents for this. They were both sort of mystery and thriller readers, sort of right from the start. So, you know, I grew up on my dad's catalog of Earl Stanley Gardners and Arthur Conan Doyles and all my mother's Agatha Christie's. So I don't have a master's in fine arts degree. I just learned how to write books from reading the masters.
You don't need a degree in writing to be a great writer, that's for sure. It's just a passion for writing, and comes through.
Yeah. Every time Louise Penny puts out a new book, she's, you know, an auto buy for me. And, you know, so if you just do a lot of reading and that kind of thing, it teaches you how to write. I've always had a real love of that kind of book.
With your other series,
The Abbott and Lowell Forensic Mysteries, that was Anne, too.
Oh.
So I do have a solo series called The NYPD Negotiators. That was written on my own. And now I'm going to be continuing on the FBI Canines on my own.
The Abbott ones are Abbott and Lowell. Now, there you get to bring in some of your scientific background.
That's right. That was me sort of, you know, using my scientific background without... I work in infectious diseases, so it wasn't indirectly, you know, in infectious diseases. But you don't want to do... You don't want to come home at night and write what you do, spend all day doing. That's not too much fun.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't want to do that. But one of the ones I think in your other series, one that really got me was Lament, The Common Bones.
Mm-hmm.
That I love that cover. It's so startling.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, thank you very much.
That's the one, right, about the skeleton, right?
Yes, that is the one where a skeleton shows up in a research lab, and they realize that it's actually a murder victim.
I had read that a long time ago because I was a medical technologist.
Oh, okay.
And so in my lab partner in anatomy class, there was this skeleton hanging, and why I was positioned so that my chair was closest to this skeleton. And this guy, my lab partner, he would always come up with creepy stories about who the bones belonged to. And he'd tell me these horrific stories. They were real bones.
So that book would have really struck a chord with you then?
He was a creepy guy. And by the end of that class, I wanted to make him into a skeleton. I thought he would have been a great skeleton. So. that guy's in danger if I ever run into him again.
That's right.
but that's a great book.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the Abbott and Lowell Forensic
Mysteries. That's the Abbott and Lowell Forensic, yeah. So that one is a police detective. She's with the Massachusetts State Police. So she's a homicide detective, and she works with a forensic anthropologist.
I love that. So you have two really great series. And as I said, with this one, FBI K-9, it's just... It's like sometimes things come along and you say, this is just perfect timing. And I really think that it's a kind of thing that really streaming should pick up. I could see easily a 6-episode series. They have enough material here to make a wonderful series. I get such a kick out of that when I see, and as I said, because I read it in October and I was thinking about Minnesota and I was like, I was shivering a little bit because you get this kind of cold wind that comes, you're on the lake and a cold wind will come along and sort of get your bones when you're thinking about bones. And then to have a wonderful dog to like this with Hawk, it's a great...
Oh, well, thank you so much.
So you have that.
Book 8 is called That Others May Live, and it's coming out on November 28th of this year. And it's a book that's sort of loosely based on the Surfside collapse in Florida from 2021. What happens when a building collapses? For anybody who watched that in real time, the very first teams that hit the pile were the dogs.
Exactly.
And so this book is sort of similar in that case, is that, you know, when something like that happens, if a building collapsed in downtown D.C., the first dogs that would be there would be the human scent evidence team, and they are the first people on site trying to rescue people.
And the wonderful thing about FBI K-9s is they go everywhere. They go around the world when they're needed. So this is not a simple series. If you get a right deal with the right actor. I mean, they're going to be traveling all over the world.
That was the thinking that went in behind the planning of this series, was that Abbott Lowell was sort of stuck in one section of Massachusetts because that's where jurisdiction was. The FBI, of course, has jurisdiction all over the United States, so we wanted to sort of be able to throw the net wide when it came to setting.
Well, that's what I thought as I read it, and then I went back and read a couple of the other books. I said, well, yeah, this is... But then it's not just the United States, and I was thinking about that. My goodness, I know that when Turkey there's collapse, or there's people lost here in Japan, the FBI canines go.
Especially when it's search and rescue. Search and rescue is always the first one out the door.
Yeah.
When a disaster happens.
We have a lot of work for Hawk.
Yeah.
We can put him to work, and his girlfriend, too.
That's right, yeah.
So it's nice. You have, as I said, you have a beautiful cast of characters, and I hope that maybe by the time you get back here in November, because this year you're going to come here in November, and we'll talk about book 8. But if you get news that you get picked up for streaming before that, you have to let me know.
I will let you know.
And you can,
for sure.
We can have it breaking news here on Joy on Paper, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay, and so people should what is your website?
So they can find me at sarahdriscollauthor.com or at jenjdanna.com.
Okay, everybody. Well, I've just given you two great series. Still Waters is a fantastic book. I love it. Love the cover. And you're right. Hawk is gorgeous. And you'll enjoy this. And then once you read this, you really will go back. I had to go back and start reading from the beginning because it's a great series. Oh, perfect binge reading.
Except for the newest one, the books are all on Kindle Unlimited. So yeah. If you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, there's all these books that are just yours for the taking.
Okay. Well, that's great. It's been so much fun talking to you today, Sarah Driscoll.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm thinking about Hawk today. So everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye-bye, everybody.